Thanks for joining me. It's great to be here with you today. Yeah, I was just, you know, Maggie and I were talking to James, our last guest, and, you know, I've got a, my wife's brother is married, my sister-in-law, right? She has MS, you know, and it's been degenerative, but she's still able to walk. But I know a lot of people that MS has sent them to the wheelchair. And to hear James Herson say that his wife, he bought her a wheelchair, they were in church and praying. The scripture that day was, ask and you shall receive. And she asked for a healing, and the Lord says, why do you want it? She heard back, why do you want me to heal you? Because I want to serve you. That's what she said. And she was miraculously healed. She walked out of that church, never to need that wheelchair again. And Jim says, Drew, I can't tell you how many other prayers we've seen. I often share a fascinating stat. The stat is that approximately a third of the Gospels taken up by cures that were wrought by Jesus during that very short period of public life that he had. So it's, to me, impossible to eliminate those miracles as having natural explanations. And you know it yourself when doctors look at scans and these giant tumors shrink or they disappear, or, you know, organs that needed transplant no longer need them. It's pretty amazing. So I invite you to pray today. All right, pray for that miracle. I'm trying to instill into the heart of a lot of people the reality that God does work miracles. I mean, we often think it's for somebody else. It's not for me. Believe, as I say, hold out that big cup, ask big. A couple of people wrote to me. This person says, I wrote to you, Drew, and asked for prayers for healing and for a new job. I'm feeling better, and I just want to let you know I've got a great job. I start orientation next Monday, and I will be working in this new position in Rhode Island. I just want to thank you for the prayers and thank everyone. To me, this is an answered prayer, and it's a miracle. May God bless you. She turned to the intercession of Father Vincent Capodanno, too. And I like that because, you know, they're not saints yet, and he might need a miracle, she says. So she prays one day he'll be recognized. Another person, Drew, we prayed the chaplet for a friend that was missing, a friend's son that was missing. He was gone for 2 months. Well, after praying the chaplet, he was returned. He just called his mother. And we want to say, praise God. They prayed the chaplet for 3 days. And then that person, after being gone for 2 months, returned, they said to me. Another person says, I was praying for a missing woman, requested prayers recently. Want to let you know she has been found safe. We want to thank God and everyone for praying. And how about one final one? I've been praying for employment since I was laid off in July. It's been a long time, and I've been growing despondent as my savings were completely drained and my unemployment benefits had run out. I sent a request to the Divine Mercy last week. Well, this is unbelievable, but I received not one, not two, but 3 good job offers. I start my new job. I love it. I love it. I love it. So praise God. God can do anything, work miracles in your health, return the missing, give you that dream job that you're praying for. And let's pray together now. I'm joined by my colleague, Preston. And Preston, always good to have you with me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.
Anything you want to pray for your family? Yeah,
My heart is on the march. And all those that are praying for life and fighting for life and all of those pregnancy center volunteers and the leaders in the communities, and just that they're successful in all that they do.
You have 8 children?
I have 8 children.
8 children, right. Have you been to the march with them? Or
I've gone, but not with my children.
Okay. It's an amazing experience.
It is an amazing, I couldn't believe to see the whole mass transit system just like the gates to get through, just shut everything down, just walk through, just like, it was unbelievable.
I just remember not being able to get cell service sometimes because there were so many people using those cell towers. You know, and I always marveled at the end of the day, you see hundreds of thousands of people making this march right before Roe fell. And I thought, oh my gosh, the media should certainly cover this. I mean, look at the crowds, look at the nothing. And you get a little blurb, maybe if you're lucky, that there was some protest, anti-life, or whatever they call us, anti-abortion is, I think, the term they use for those who are trying to defend life. But, you know, prayer works. Prayer changes things. You and I were talking about the power of the memorare and how, you know, we really believe the memorare helped bring about, I think, the end of Roe v. Wade.
100% agree. It's
so many other answered prayers as well. We got a great team here, though. A lot of people praying together from around the country and around the world, and we'll pray that chat. But Maggie, before I start, anything you want to kick off with, too? Do you have an intention you need? How's your dad doing?
He's doing great. He had an awesome knee operation yesterday. All went well. He's home. He's already resting and icing and doing the stretches. Sounds like he's in a good place.
It's crazy, isn't
it? Thank you for those prayers. And actually, sometimes before operations, he gets nervous, yeah. But he said yesterday before going in, my mom was like, he was like, I think those prayers are working. I'm not anxious.
I love it. That's a great prayer.
And I also told James Herson that we would pray for him and his wife, Margaret, Maggie, she goes by. So
yeah, he listens to the chaplet, Rich Gannon, former quarterback for the NFL, who stops by the program too. He said to me off air too, really appreciate what you do with the chaplet. He says, we listen, and sometimes, he stops, and you fight back tears and you hear some of these intentions from people. So a lot of people listening, a lot of people praying, and Rich will pray for you. Jim will pray for you. And of course, we'll pray for you. I know a lot of people are already on hold. If you didn't get through, by the way, on the phone lines, they fill up pretty quick. Maggie will bring your prayer intention to the air during the chaplet. You can go to Twitter at Drew Mariani Show. That's the Twitter page for the show, at Drew Mariani Show. Put your intentions there and she'll bring them to air. Okay. Continue to send me your answer prayers too. You can do that at my email, drew@relevantradio.com. Mark answered prayer or praise report. I'll share more answered prayers tomorrow and, of course, in the days ahead. But let's pray right now. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's take our first call this afternoon. It comes from Dilly, Texas. Hey, JJ, thanks for joining us. Good afternoon.
Hey, Drew, how's it going?
Pretty well. I'm doing okay today, thanks. How can we pray for you?
I lost my dad in July 6th from kidney cancer. I want to pray for everybody moving on without a loved one. I know moments get, they get emotional when you think about them, hear their voice, sense that they have. But I just wanted to continue praying for them. Obviously his soul. I have a job opportunity that came up, so I will not be missing listening as much as I can this past year.
That's great.
But if I can, I will. I love to hear your show. I love to hear the prayers of Thanksgiving. I wish everybody would share it more often.
Hey, I'm with you, JJ. Thank you for that call to action. If God is working a miracle in your life, and I so often I pray, I get an answer prayer, and I'm on to my next petition, right? I'm begging God for something else. I totally forgot. Hey, he just blessed me, right? Take the time, jot it down. They often say the only gospel somebody may read is the gospel of your life. And I've been chronicling encounters I've had, let's say with an angel or some miraculous healing. And when you look back, it's amazing how God works in your life. Email me, drew@relevantradio.com. Send me your answered prayer. Let me know how God worked that miracle or answered your prayer, okay? I want to pray for you, JJ, for this job, that it fulfills you and that you can be a real witness to others in it. But I want to pray for your dad, too. I was listening to a conversation earlier today about somebody whose grandmother died from suicide. And this guy didn't know he could pray for his mom. And He fell in love with Divine Mercy. The priest introduced it to him. I think it was diary entry 1498 or 1496, where the Lord says he reaches out to his soul multiple times. So let's pray for your dad, JJ, who's died, for his soul. And let's pray for all those who mourn. It's hard to lose a parent. I mean, it's one of the most difficult losses, and my heart goes out to you. And if you missed my conversation yesterday, we had like a two-hour conversation on suffering and loss. Unbelievable. It was just such a good radio program. Go to my podcast and listen to the last 2 hours of yesterday's show, especially if you're struggling in that area. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you Preston's and all who are united with me now, JJ, and all these intentions, and we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Frank is praying with us in the city of brotherly love. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Drew. How you doing?
All right.
I'm asking for prayers. I have a genetic mutation that causes severe retinitis pigmentosa that my vision's restored, mm-hmm. and also causes severe polyneuropathy. I pray that my legs are also restored, and also my mother, that she's healthy and happy. And Andrew, I love the whole program of Relevant Radio, but the chapel keeps me hanging in all these time, and I'm bummed out and everything. And kudos to Patrick Alok. He's the quiet hero of Relevant Radio. So thank you.
For those who don't know who Patrick Alok is, he is, I call him a soldier. He's behind the scenes here. He's one of the producers on the show. He'll take your call when you call in. Patrick also pays attention to what I say, unlike Maggie. Unlike some other people.
Ouch.
You sometimes say, oh, you know, Congressman so-and-so, and Patrick's in my ear. You mean Senator? Or also I'll say something, you know, you speak for 3 hours. I always make a mistake. And I don't blame you, Maggie. Maggie's running the board, watching the levels. She's doing her job. I'm teasing Maggie. But Patrick is tuned in. He's plugged in. So thank you for acknowledging him, Frank. Patrick deserves it. I would pray for Patrick, pray for Maggie, pray for my team. Let's pray for Relevant. And let's pray for the vision and for immobility. I mean, these are two big crosses he has. He's probably very concerned about his mother as well. So I want to pray for those mobility problems, Maggie's father, to continue his recovery. For Paul in Milwaukee, who calls for his eyes all the time. For James Bosco, for Frank, for all those who are having vision problems now. We ask for restoration and healing. We pray for miracles. Just as James Herson's wife got up and walked and no longer needed a wheelchair, we pray for sight to be returned. All right, that's what I ask. I ask this for you, of you now, Lord, as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And as I was praying that decade, I had this overwhelming sense. We need to pray for those with suicidal ideation. I don't know who is out there now thinking about harming themselves. I just ask that God hold back their hand, that we never know that pain. Maggie, what's coming in today on Twitter?
We've got a lot of things coming in. I wish I could get to all of them, Drew. So I always have to flag some for the next day. But prayers for Tim Morin. He needs prayers for healing. Someone forwarded me a GoFundMe yesterday on Twitter that I reposted for a woman named Amber Van Vickle. Picture of the family was just beautiful. It was such a beautiful young family. In December, she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer in her colon, lungs, and liver that require immediate intensive treatment. Amber and her husband have 5 amazing children. They're devout Catholics. 2 of their children have special needs. It's just, they need prayers. So I wanted to lift that up. Karen is asking for divine mercy prayers to pray for her 30-year for her 30-year-old son who's heartbroken and lonely. She prays that God will heal his sadness and bring a good Catholic woman into his life that he can serve the Lord alongside. An anonymous Twitter user said, please ask the Divine Mercy family to pray for my adult son's mental condition. I'm heartbroken watching him suffer. Big cup, please. He needs complete healing. Jesus, I trust in you. Nick said, I need prayer for healing. I have bulged discs in my cervical spine causing severe nerve pain in my left arm. I need my job. I can't afford to go on disability, nor can I afford spinal decompression.
Wow.
Jesus, I trust in you. Shannon said, hi, Drew. I would like to offer up prayers for my mom, Linda. Today is her birthday, and I'm blessed and thankful to be able to celebrate it with her.
Happy birthday, Linda.
I wondered if you'd sing her happy birthday.
Oh, well. Do you want her to cry on her birthday? Is that what you want?
Okay,
scratch you love
that.
Your mother?
Scratch that.
If you love your mother, you don't want me to sing. Believe me.
Okay, and this last one was really sweet. I had to sneak this in. Carrie says, hi, Drew and Maggie. Please pray for the safe return of Penny. She's a potbelly pig. She was stolen from my daughter's backyard yesterday. The family is very upset. Please pray for safe return.
Oh, we'll pray for that. Why not, right? We pray for pets. We pray for all sorts of things. And Lord, we just give you every one of these intentions. I pray for all those having a happy birthday. Although I won't sing, I will pray for them, that you give them special graces to grow in holiness and to come to know you in a new way this year. We thank you for the gift of life. Boy, some heavy intentions. I do pray for those things that are lost, those things that need to be returned. I want to pray for the conversion of our children. I hear these mothers crying out, protect our children. Give them good, holy spouses. Enlighten their path that they may know their vocation. Free them from addiction and anxiety and depression and all the things that may impede them. And just give them the graces they need, Lord. We lift that up. And let's add Lydia to the third decade as well. She's praying in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Hi, Lydia.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm asking if people can pray for my 7-year-old son. He's got a speech impairment. The best thing I can compare it to would be like aphasia after someone has a stroke.
Right.
But he's getting older and he's exhibiting some aggression, and I know it's just because he's frustrated and stuff like that. And it's not even that I want him to stop, for him to be cured.
Sure.
I just want to be the best mom I can be for him because I sometimes don't know. Don't know what he needs and how to help him. And I have my own struggles and I'm not perseverant in prayer. So if everyone could just pray for me that I could be the mom that he needs and that my other children need.
First of all, I just want to tell you, you are a good mother. That's why you're crying. That's why you're so frustrated. Just do your best, Lydia. That's all God asks you to do. Mother Teresa says, we're not called to be successful. We're just called to be faithful. And your vocation is that of motherhood. You are a great mom, let's pray for that miracle for your son. Let's pray for you. My heart goes out to you. I can't tell you how many people today are writing your name down now and are going to be praying for you in their prayers. But know how much we love you.
Named after Pope Benedict the 16th. His name's Benedict Joseph, so I know he's got a good intercessor up there now, too.
I know. 7 years old. We'll call upon Benedict right now. Let's pray with faith, Lydia, okay? We'll pray for that special needs son of yours. And hang in there. Look, don't grow despondent. Don't put your trust in the Lord. Know that he hears your tears. He does. You know, as you move my heart, as you move Maggie's and Preston, how much more can you... Are you moving the heart of God? There's a quote in scripture. It's 1 Peter 5, I think. It says, cast all your worries upon him because he cares for you. God cares for you. He loves you. Have no anxiety, but in everything, by prayer and petition, make your request known to God, says Philippians. And I really believe God hears the prayer of a mother, especially a mother's heart and her tears. So, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to intercede. I thank you for our spiritual family gathering with her. I pray that her son may make a marked recovery that things change. I pray for a miraculous healing. And I pray for this mother to receive every grace she needs, that her heart may be filled with peace, her mind with clarity. She may be able to lead and be the mother that you created her to be. And I pray for all mothers who feel this way, as if though they have failed. Let them know how much you love them, and let them see the fruit of their prayers and wipe away their tears as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Okay, Ann is praying with us in St. Paul, Minnesota. Ann, thank you for joining us.
Yes, hello, Drew. I had called a few weeks back asking for prayers for my brother Nick, that he would get into an assisted living. Yep. And they did an interview, and he qualified. Yay. And he qualified for another program. But now, last night or a couple days ago, he ended up in the hospital with difficulty breathing and low blood pressure and some other problems. And I'm hoping this doesn't affect him to the point where he won't be able to move into an assisted living. And I am praying that when he comes out on the other side of this hospital visit, that he has enough strength to be able to get out of bed and be able to get into his wheelchair and at least stand up with his walker. And he has severe depression. And I am just praying for an end to his depression, and that God will give him the strength spiritually and physically to be able to move into this assisted living facility, because they are holding a spot for him. So,
well, you got it, Ann. And you know, I like about your call, prayers aren't always answered instantly, right? But your persistence in prayer is bringing about change. And you see how many of these little prayers have already been answered. Sometimes God wants us to continue to walk through that valley, to continue to trust, to continue to have faith. And you know, he's showing you along the way those little answered prayers. Let's continue to pray, okay? We'll pray for your brother in the hospital. You're a good sister. And we'll just pray that God remedies this situation. Lord, I give to you those in these really critical situations, those facing really bad diagnoses and prognoses. And I just ask for your healing. I ask for remedy to impossible situations, be them health or finances, be them relationships. I just give you the heavy crosses that so many people bear. And I ask you, lighten them. I ask that these prayers lighten them as we turn to you. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Lorna, and she's praying in Los Angeles. Hi, Lorna. Good afternoon.
Hello, Drew. Thank you so much. Your program is a highlight of my day.
Oh, it's so sweet. Thank you.
So thank you so much, and Relevant Radio. But I'd like to offer prayers for two people. A family friend is at the end. These are her last days. She's her dialysis treatment has plateaued, so she is in her last days, and she's asking for prayers. So I ask for the strength and grace for her to face what comes ahead, and for her family, comfort and consolation. And from a cousin of mine that just also passed a week and a half ago. So that, and for my continuing anxiety and worry, but this is the time that I have, and I feel so at peace when I hear your program, and I'm praying. And I know it works because my cousin was healed from her breast cancer.
Wow.
She told me about the Divine Mercy, and another friend of mine says, tune in. She goes, you'll feel so much better. And I do. And then thank you so much.
Lorna, thank you for the kind words. I can't tell you how much they mean to me. Have her write that story and send it in. I love sharing those stories of healing and of miracles. And I want to pray for your anxiety. I love the fact that you feel better, you know, when you're praying with us. And I want to lift up every one of your intentions, and especially for those who are in their final hours. We all make this journey. Every single one of us will one day take our final breath, and one day we'll meet our merciful Savior. And St. Faustina wrote, and she had all of these different encounters. She saw Christ come at the bedside of the dying, and she had these beautiful encounters. I'll share more of them maybe in the days ahead. But one of the things she said this prayer was for is to pray for the dying, right? That our prayers can do exactly what some souls don't have. It'll obtain trust for them in their final moments. Because Satan, that's his last chance to rob them of their soul. And that's when you have the most need of trust in Jesus and in his promises. And that's when so often souls have it the least. So he says, be assured, grace, the grace of final salvation for certain souls depends on your prayer. So I want to pray right now for all those who are dying. I want to pray for those who've gone before us as well. And I want to pray for everyone on hold, everyone who's written, for every intention in all of our hearts. And we just ask the Lord in his mercy to hear and to answer us, to give us the grace to have greater faith and trust, to have the vigor and strength to carry our cross, and really the eyes to see the fruit of these answered prayers. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments, we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
St. Joseph,
pray for us.
St. Faustina,
pray for us.
St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
St. Peregrine,
pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
St. Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you for praying with me. Preston, thank you. When we come back, I want to change gears and deal with another issue. But I'm going to ask you, Preston, before I wrap this segment up, a quick question. I don't know if you heard Maria Osmond, famous, a lot of money, the guy who played, James Bond, the latest guy. They're all not giving their Daniel Craig. Inheritances to their kids. How do you feel about that?
I think that it's good to let kids make their own way in the world.
Yeah.
I think if they're being responsible and would put the money to good use and be a good steward of God's gifts, yep. I think that there's good in that.
Yep.
But if that money could be better served to God in a different way, I'm actually not against that idea. So
we're going to talk about
that's
it.
That's an interesting question.
We're
going to
talk
sure.
about it on the other side. They make a strong case for not doing. They worry yeah. about their kids. They love them. This is an act yes. of love on their behalf because yeah. they don't want their money to destroy their children.
That's right.
But we'll talk about it. Love to get your take. I'll tell you about Warren Buffett and a whole lot of other people as well. Short pause, and then the conversation continues.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter @DrewMarianiShow.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
That's the Donnie and Marie star, Marie Osmond, 63 years of age. Looks good for 63. Eight grandchildren. Huge, huge family. I was reading something about her earlier today. I think she was one of the youngest. Oh, I forget what she won. She was 14 years of age to have a gold record or something along those lines. She, pretty impressive stuff. I'll try to find that. But she made news recently by saying, hey, you know what? I'm not giving kids any inheritance money. And when she does this weight loss thing too, what is it that she does? I know you probably know, I see her. I don't know whether it's just one of those weight loss programs. It's not Weight Watchers. It's something else. But like I said, she's been a household name for a very, very long time. And she's been around. Nutrisystem, thank you. There's Patrick again. Maggie, Patrick beat you. He beat you to it. Thank you, Patrick. Patrick's at Nutrisystem. Yeah, she represents that. You'll see her commercials. I was doing a little research on her. I heard an interview with her. I was actually in my car driving from, someplace. It was a long drive. I was in the car like 4 hours. And I was surfing the dial, and I came across an interviewer. Somebody was interviewing Marie Osmond. I thought, I really should put her on the program. This is a woman who suffered a lot in her life. I mean, she's gone through some really, really difficult times. But you might remember her, you know, depending how old you are. If you grew up in the 70s, she became famous and she's been around since 73, became the youngest country singer. It was to have a number one hit song, I think is what it was. But she was only 14 at the age. And she and her brothers had their own TV show. She kept it up ever since. And she's been doing all kinds of gigs for about 50 years. And, you know, you make some money. And she made some money. She and her husband, Steve Craig, are now very wealthy. And she did an interview and she told US Weekly recently that she wasn't going to leave any of her money to her kids. And it got a lot of buzz, right? People are saying, what? Why would you leave money to your kids? And it made me think, because Daniel Craig, Warren Buffett, a lot of other very wealthy people know what money can do. You know, a lot of these trust fund babies, their lives are a mess, right? You know, they don't have a work ethic. They rely on it. When you get stuff for free all the time, and we see this even in our society and our culture at large, don't we? When money's free, when it's given to you freely like that, you don't really appreciate it as much as when you work hard for it. And it's quite often abused. It's spent on stuff that perhaps it shouldn't be. You know, there's not a healthy respect for it. There's a dignity that comes with work. It's part of our Catholic teaching. But here's what she said. She says, I think, you know, an inheritance, what it does is breed laziness and entitlement. I worked hard and I'm going to spend all of it, referring to her money, and have fun with my husband. I'm like, all right. I think those people who want to spend every last penny when they die are called die brokers. And basically, that's what she wants to do. She wants to spend all of her cash. She wants her children to be able to do the same thing. She wants them to achieve success, but she wants them to do it through hard work. She wants them to do something that will make them proud. She did say, and I don't want to say, oh, this woman's so selfish. That's not my vibe at all. She says she does help her children. Eight of them, by the way, they want to buy a new car. You know, she does help them out, but she doesn't know if she's going to leave them a giant stack of cash. And she's not alone. There's a number of other wealthy people who've decided to either leave their children no money at all or smaller monies. Warren Buffett, he says, leave your children enough so that they can do anything, but not enough that they can do nothing. Kind of an interesting thought. Like, I'm not opposed to leaving my kids some money. I think a little bit of money will help you, right? I mean, maybe it can eradicate a debt or to buy a new vehicle or to pay off your mortgage or to, you know, whatever. I think it can really alleviate a financial burden for certain kids and certain people. But then again, you know, I was surfing the channels the other, not channels, I saw a Wall Street Journal article over the weekend. I didn't read it, but the headline, it was like an opinion piece or an Ask Me This Question. This guy wrote, apparently he had a drug addiction and his father had another son. So they had two sons and he left one son 75% of the will, okay, of the estate and everything else that went with it because the brother was responsible. The drug addicted kid, he left 25%. He didn't deny him anything. But I guess he didn't want to kill himself either, so he left at 25%. Well, the drug-addicted guy who got 25% got therapy. He's got help. He's now clean. And his brother's now dead. He only lived for 10 months. So the question he was asking the person in the paper is, should I ask those kids, should I ask my nephews and my nieces for some of that money back now? Now, I didn't read the article. You can search in the Wall Street Journal and find it yourself. But I thought, no, your dad thought about this long and hard, and he gave you what you deserved. And I couldn't, you know, family relationships, there's more relationships divided over money than anything. And to Marie Osmond and to others, I respect their position. Bill Gates, for instance, said he's leaving his three kids, and Bill Gates is worth, a lot of money, right? He's only going to leave his kids, and this might sound a lot to you. It sounds like a lot to me, but in the scope of his income and his wealth, maybe not. He's going to leave his three kids $10 million apiece. So that's sufficient for them. But, you know, he's not leaving them hundreds of millions, right? What about all the real estate, the farmland, all the stuff that Gates owns, properties? Now, you think, oh, that's rough, right? $30 million to Bill Gates is nothing. Warren Buffett decided he's going to do the same thing. He told his children he hates the idea of inherited wealth. This is Warren Buffett, right? Warren Buffett. He says he's going to give most of his money to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and considers it a charitable donation. A lot of people want to give their money away. And it can go on. I want to get to my guest, Ann Hendershot. But I just did a quick search before the broadcast saying, well, who else is doing this? And you might be surprised at some of these names. Check out these names, right? Sting, right? Think of all the money Sting has made in its concerts and its album sales. Mark Zuckerberg. Right. Simon Cowell, you know him from American Idol, right? And America's Got Talent and all the record producing. This guy's worth bank. Jackie Chan, Gene Simmons, George Lucas, Andrew Lloyd Webber. They're just some of them. And they all say the same thing. We want our kids to know what it is to work. We want them to know what it is to be proud of something. But of course, inherited wealth is something that's been part of the human condition for a long time. Is it a good thing, a bad thing? What are you doing? You can sound off. I want to welcome Ann Hendershot, though. She's a professor of sociology and the director of the Veritas Center at Franciscan University of Steubenville. It's good to have her here with us. I thought she'd be perfect to give us some perspective on this. And doctor, it is always a delight. Great to have you back.
Oh, thanks. I'm happy to be on. This is something we talk about in our classes in sociology at Franciscan University of Steubenville. So I was thrilled to be on this subject. And, you know, you're right. These people don't want to negatively impact the work ethic of their children. I mean, we just have to look at Hunter Biden to get some idea of what it's like to grow up with great wealth and not have to work too hard. But there is a Marxist slant to this that kind of bothers me. And this whole trend of being this patriotic millionaire, because that's what they're called now, the patriotic millionaires, that are going to be leaving all their money to charity. The Marxists love this, you know, because they are against the nuclear family. According to Marx and Engels, the nuclear family promotes inheritance and consequently intergenerational inequality. When you keep money within your family, the Marxists don't like that. They want money communally shared. And that's why the Democrats are always pushing for death taxes. Well, Republicans, too. I don't want to just pick on the Democrats. But, you know, nobody's talking about let's reduce the death taxes too much. They're just not. And every once in a while you read a story about how children inherit a family farm that they've been working on their whole lives. And then all of a sudden the taxes are so burdensome that they can't afford the family farm when the father dies. And they're left without, they're left homeless. So that's a problem, too. So I'm not really in favor of this whole idea. I mean, I like Warren Buffett's quote. I've read that, and our students have read that, too, that every rich person should leave their kids enough to do things, but not enough to do nothing. And I agree with that. But gee, I mean, I have a 529 for all of our grandchildren, and we stock money in there. I don't like the idea of Marie Osmond saying she and her husband want to die broke or spend all their money, although she didn't say that. She did say she wanted to give to charity. But I'm not crazy about the die brokers. I've seen a lot of that in Florida in these elderly villages where they're on cruises and spending money and not worrying about their children. I think it's kind of nice to want to care enough about your children. And I'm certainly not a Marxist.
Yeah, no, I know that.
The Marxists do not want to pass on money because they think it preserves capitalism by putting wealth in a private family instead of passing it on to the community. So that's what these patriotic millionaires like Sting and Warren Buffett, and then to give money to the Melinda, oh my gosh, the Gates Foundation,
I know.
When they just bring forced sterilization. So no.
Here's the thing about this, and we can talk about it. I have to take a short break. On the other side, we can dive into this a little bit deeper. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with money or even a lot of wealth. I think what you have to do is teach your kids respect for that, you know, and you've got to instill a work ethic into your children. You have to instill into them values. You've got to take them out and do charitable work. You know, the problem is when you give your kids everything, than they expect. And as you pointed out, you mentioned Hunter Biden or others, some of these trust fund babies. I mean, their life ends up just absolutely miserable. Short pause. When we come back, we'll talk more, though. We'll get your calls. You can join us, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. And our conversation with Dr. Ann Hendershot continues. Stay with us. Hi, Drew Mariani here. Hey, this September, I'm heading the Relevant Radio's Eucharistic Revival Pilgrimage to Italy with Nativity Pilgrimage. This is available to you. Information available at relevantradio.com/Italy.
The Drew Mariani Show is on Relevant Radio.
Maggie being creative, a little super tramp there. Give a little bit, right? Are you going to give a little bit to your kids? You're going to give a lot? You're going to give it all? They worked hard. You love them. And I, you know, for me personally, I think it depends on your economic strata, too. It's, you know, who's in the Warren Buffett, you know, Bill Gates, Zuckerberg, you know, arena? Not me, right? So, I mean, how much can you really even pass on? I do think something helps. And some of these very wealthy men and some of the men I mentioned, some of the women, some of the people I mentioned, I probably should say, are certainly going to leave something to their kids, but maybe not enough to cripple them. If you're just joining me, I saw a story about Marie Osmond again re-articulating the fact she's not going to leave her kids any money. She and her husband want to die broke. You know, she's doing it because she believes in the work ethic and in working hard. Actor Kirk Douglas, he gave almost all of his, I think, $61 million to charity and said it to his son. His son, by the way, is Michael Douglas, the actor as well. But Michael Douglas is fine. He probably doesn't need it. So Kirk gave it to charity. Daniel Craig is one of those celebrities who's not going to leave his fortune to his kids. He said he thinks inheritance is distasteful. Let me just say this, Dr. Hendershot. It's good to have you. I want to grab some phone calls. Mm-hmm. I hope somebody leaves me in their will. I would love that surprise, right? One day, you know,
Daniel Craig saying distasteful. That's typical of a European view. The United States is one of the lowest in terms of the 15 nations studied in a major study done by HBSC, that financial services company, that we're one of the lowest in terms of wanting to leave children an inheritance. Only 59% of U.S. parents want to leave their children an inheritance. Other countries want more because they have such confiscatory taxes in those countries. I mean, we have bad taxes, but nothing compared to Europe.
I think it's something for parents to think about, to contemplate what you're teaching your children regarding stewardship towards, a relationship with money. Again, I don't think there's anything wrong with leaving your kids money unless you do think it's going to harm them. Let's take a few phone calls. We'll go to Matthew. He's in Madison, Wisconsin. Matthew, hi. You're on the air with Dr. Hendershot.
Hi. I think that there's two quotes from the Bible that sum this up fairly well.
It's from 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And that's followed up with Proverbs 22:6. Mm-hmm. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. That to me says that people who are gifted by God, the ability to accumulate wealth, have a responsibility to train those children on how to properly use that wealth. And if you do not take care that that is your responsibility and say, I'm going to give all my wealth away to other people that you don't know and didn't train on how to manage that wealth, you've given up your faith because God gave you a gift. Not everybody gets that gift. And if you squander it, that's not biblical. So a lot of what we hear about giving away wealth to everybody else, I'm giving my children nothing, that's not biblical.
No. No, it's not. But also, as you said, Timothy, the work ethic, very important to encourage a strong work ethic. Yeah. Because getting a lot of money could negatively impact their work ethic. But if it's a biblical view, like you have brought up, thank you so much. This is a great call. I appreciate that. I had to write that down. It's very helpful. And plus, when you give it to charities like Planned Parenthood, so much money goes into the Planned Parenthood coffers. I mean, just because we disagree with it, to me, that's giving money to support evil, but not to them, of course. Yeah, but it's still evil.
It's a great point, too, because we talked about the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and their campaign to sterilize, really to control population. The things they're doing are not good for mankind at large, you know, and they're really antithetical to our faith.
And even the good ones like the Ford Foundation and many of the others, the original intent of the donors was not carried through for successive generations. So if you look at those now, Ford would not be happy with the way his money is being distributed now. Henry Ford. We look at that in our stratification class.
Ricardo's listening in San Antonio. I want to sneak one more call in for you here, too, if we could. Ricardo, hi.
Hello. I love the topic today. I was thinking about another billionaire. You guys mentioned Zuckerberg and Bill Gates. But there's another billionaire by the name of Donald Trump that, you know, brought Christ to the White House and was against abortion. And somehow he found a formula for his children to be all successful. And I believe that even if Donald Trump will die today, that his children are brought up some very well, that I believe they can even multiply their fortune.
Ricardo, thank you. And I don't know what his will says.
That's a really good point.
I don't know whether he's going to leave money to his kids or not. But Dr. Hendershot, let me get you some final thoughts from you.
Thanks, Ricardo. Yes. Okay. Oh, for me.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I was just thinking about Ricardo. That's a really good point about Donald Trump and his children, because they've done very well on their own also. Of course, having startup funds is always nice, but they haven't squandered them. So I think the important thing is we don't want our largesse to negatively impact the work ethic of our children, but I don't find anything wrong with wanting to pass on property and wealth to children, as long as you've trained them well.
Well said. Doctor, thank you for your time. I'm really grateful for having
you
here.
You.
Great conversation. That class must be a great one. A lot of good conversation.
Fun. Yes, thank you.
We'll catch up again soon. That's Dr. Ann Hendershot, and very grateful to have her. In the studio with me right now is our chief executive officer. We got big news to share. We're going to do that in a few minutes. Not right now, but in a few minutes. I thought I'd get his take on this as well. And Father Rocky, thanks for being here. We were just talking with Dr. Hendershot a little bit about the Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg and Simon Cowell and Gene Simmons and all these people staying with this great wealth. And a lot of them think, I'm not going to give my money to my kids. You know, I'm not going to leave it to them because I don't think it's for their best. And they're giving it to charities. Some of the charities aren't that great. But your thoughts?
No, I understand that. A lot depends on how much they leave to this and that. The other thing, I think Dr. Hendershot was correct. You want your children to have a work ethic because that's what Jesus did, right? Mm-hmm. He worked and he supported himself, and so did Jesus, Mary, Joseph. And there's something that is in ordinary work that can sanctify a person. Yeah. A life of laziness doesn't help the soul, right? Work actually helps the soul and develops a lot of virtues there. It's always a prudential call on what to do with your money. I think the very best thing you can do with your money is just leave it to Relevant Radio. I mean, that one is so obvious. Right? That is so obvious. That's exactly what I would do, you know?
Your volume control's there, Father. There we go. Might be right there for you. Mm-hmm. It's a great idea, too. And I think leaving to charity, I mean, leaving those legacies that carry on are important. You know, it just sounds like a cheap plug, but if people want to do that, what's the best way to do it? I didn't intend to talk to you
about
this.
Sure. Well, they can go to our website and see online giving and planned giving and things of that sort. And we've been really blessed over the years. We have many, many donors who give a little bit each month. And they've left us in their will. And then all of a sudden we get this notice from their attorney or something like this enormous gift, because most people, they don't know how long they're going to live. They don't know how long they're going to live. And so they have to make do with what they have. Yeah. And then, you know, they leave us something. So that's a great thing. That's how we build our network, right? Through the generosity of people. But one thing, though, I'd like to put in this context. Maybe people don't recognize their because they're so close to it. We have a culture of philanthropy in America, in our country, that I don't think exists in other countries. And some of our communities have a wonderful culture of philanthropy. That's certainly the case of Minneapolis-St. Paul, yeah. Right? We have community virtue. Our parks are for free. Our tennis courts are for free. Our football fields are free. Our soccer fields are for free. The national parks, for the most part, are for free. This is civic virtue and is a great thing in this country.
Father, hold the thought. When we come back, we'll pick up the conversation. Your news and headlines are straight ahead. On the other side, though, we got a big announcement for you. You want to stay tuned for this. I was a little shocked because I didn't see this coming. I'll share with you what it is when I return.